Samuel 17, beginning at verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole earth, the whole world, will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly forwards to the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him.
Thank you, Sheena. Have you ever been so excited that you couldn't sleep? There's something going to happen the next day, and you're so excited about it that you couldn't sleep. Think about those Olympians this week. Their big event the next day. Imagine you want to be able to give it your best, absolutely your best, and yet you can't get to sleep because you're so excited. Think about Andy Murray last night. Do you think he slept well? Two opportunities for a gold medal this afternoon. Let's hope he slept well. Now, maybe that's how David's mum and dad felt, because they knew Samuel was on their way over to see them. See, God had told Samuel was the judge and the prophet in Israel. God had told Samuel to go to David's family, and God was going to tell him which of their eight sons was going to be the next king. So we had this beauty parade, this lineup one by one. And can you imagine the excitement of David's parents that one of their sons was going to be the next king of Israel? So exciting. But you know what? From David's point of view, his parents didn't even bother to include him in the lineup. How do you think that would have made David feel? Has that ever happened to you? Do you remember your mum or dad ignoring you or just leaving you out? What effect would that have had? And then we move on in the story. Further down the line, they're ready for battle. They're in the valley. The Philistines on one side, the Israelites on the other side. And David is sent along by his parents. He's the young shepherd boy. He's sent along to take food and supplies for his brothers. He's got three older brothers on the front line. And can you imagine the brothers' reaction when they turn to him and they say, "What are you doing here? Get back to looking after your sheep." Have you ever had a brother or sister tell you you're rubbish? And then King Saul, he sends for David. And David tells the king, "I'll fight Goliath." And then we hear the king's response. "Don't be ridiculous. You're only a boy." How do you think that made David feel? Everybody pulling him down, putting limitations on him. And all this goes on before we even get to hear what Goliath says to him. "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. I don't know about you, but I'd be shaking in fear and scared like the rest of the Israelites. So let's sum up where we've got to in the story. David's parents don't rate him. His brothers can't wait to get shot of him. The king thinks he's stupid. And Goliath, as far as he's concerned, is just about to kill him. I want you to pretend for a moment that you're David the shepherd boy and imagine how he must be feeling at this point in the story as it unfolds. Well, I had a cartoon for the children, but we are very children light at the moment, so I think we'll whiz past that bit. But you've got the picture. David was discouraged, he was criticized, he was insulted, he was laughed at, he was threatened. All of which brings us to our question this morning. How is it possible that David managed to overcome the fear when all those around him were so frightened and scared? And no doubt you and I would have been just as scared if we'd been there. Why didn't David panic? Why didn't David panic? So, three things I'd like to share with you. Firstly, David knew we have with our God, all things are possible. David understood that God saw the situation differently. David was able to say to himself, "My God is bigger than you, Goliath." See, David was looking at the battle from God's point of view. Why? Because David's faith in God meant he could look at the giant from a different perspective. To David, Goliath was merely a mortal man defying an all-powerful God. David just saw Goliath as a man standing in the way of God's purposes. David knew with God all things are possible. Secondly, God's opinion is the only one that mattered to David. When the giant criticized, insulted, threatened, David didn't even stop. He didn't even waver. Everyone else cowered in fear. It even says that the soldiers in the Israelite army, they ran away just when Goliath was spouting forth. David didn't see the crisis as a crisis. He knew that action needed to be taken. David's faith wouldn't allow him to stand idly by while Goliath defied the God of heaven. David did the right thing in spite of discouraging insults and fearful threats. And lastly, David believed he knew the battle was the Lord's. David trusted more in God than in weapons of war. He knew that this battle was on behalf of the living God of Israel. See, David was willing to take a stand for God and allow him, God, to take care of the battle. In the verses that Sheena read, "You come at me with a sword and spear, but I come at you to you in the name of the Lord. Today, the Lord will conquer you." Not, "I will conquer you because I'm brilliant with a sling and a stone, because I've had plenty of practice as a shepherd." But the Lord will conquer you. This battle was the Lord's. And David knew that God had been preparing him to face such a moment by deepening his faith along the way. David had an assurance that this was part of God's plan. So let's turn to the application. What can we learn here from David's example? Well, two things, I think, stand out for me. David shows us how to deal with the giants in our own life. Do you have any giants in your life right now? Could be a person. Could be a boss at work. It could be your financial situation. Whatever that giant is, If you don't have any giants in your life right now, fantastic, that's great. But just remember to follow David's example and allow God to prepare you by submitting to God and growing your faith now, so when the time comes and the giant comes, because he sure will, you'll know exactly how to deal with it. Now, while we don't physically fight giants today, we do fight spiritual giants, and we do fight what look like impossible situations. Bring your giants to Jesus. He's still in the giant-killing business. Secondly, David teaches us, when we ask the question of ourselves, how big is our God? How big is God to you? Is God so important to you that you're willing to make a stand when the moment calls for you to do so? Do you believe your battle is in the Lord's, like David did? Is your faith so strong that you know he'll turn up? God will turn up in that vital moment when you step out in faith. And as we've been praying for Simon and Ethan this morning, you know, humanly speaking, there's still doubts, there's still concerns, there's still worries. Humanly speaking, they're not even convinced that it's the right thing to do. They probably even had friends give them warnings and criticize them, saying for everything that they're giving up here. But Simon and Ina are prepared to take a stand because they believe that's what God is calling them to do. Will you take a stand for God? Will you allow God to battle on your behalf? Because the Bible promises us, the Lord your God will fight for you. So are you facing a giant problem or an impossible situation? Is there something so big that you don't see a way to overcome it? Well, stop for a minute and refocus. Can you see the situation more clearly from God's vantage point? If we learn to look at giant problems from God's perspective, we realize that God will fight for us, and he will fight with us. When we see things the way God sees them, we can see them more clearly, and we can fight more effectively. So yes, do go to a parent, a teacher, a trusted adult for their wise counsel. But don't forget to ask God for his help in confronting your giant. Do you need to take courageous action in the face of insults and fearful circumstances? Do you trust that God will fight for you and with you? Remember, God's opinion is the only one that matters. So I finish with this thought. Don't tell God how big your giants are. Don't tell God how big your giants are. Tell your giants how big your God is. Tell your giants how big your God is. Amen.